I'd like tonight to turn to the book of Job, chapter 38. The book of Job, chapter 38. I'd like to read verses 22 and verse 23. Job 38, verses 22 and 23. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? We are all familiar with the story of Job and his unparalleled sufferings. We see that Job, of course, had everything going for him. He had everything that a man could possibly want on earth. He was rich. He had a fine family. He had friends. He had health. He even had an endorsement from God concerning his character. The Lord said, there is no one like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. That's a pretty good character reference when God says that about an individual. Then all of a sudden, things began to fall apart, humanly speaking. For Job, he lost his children, lost his riches, lost his health, found out that his friends weren't so good after all. They came to bring him comfort during his loss and during his sickness, and ended up basically just pointing an accusing finger at him, telling him that God had brought all these calamities on him because of some sin that he had committed in his life. As you read the advice that Job's friends gave and the different speeches that they gave, it's obvious that they thought they had God figured out. They knew exactly why God had done what he had done to Job. And Job insisted that there was no sin in his life that would cause God to bring these calamities upon him. And Job and his friends are arguing back and forth throughout the book of Job. And at times, Job was filled with self-pity. And finally, out of frustration, Job said that he would bring his case before God. God, of course, heard him. God spoke from the heavens. And notice there in Job 38, verses 2 and 3, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Paraphrasing, God is saying, who is this that fills your mouth with words and with knowledge? Job, brace yourself, and I will question you, and you will answer me. And then God proceeded to ask Job a bunch of questions, at least 43, here in the book of Job 38 through chapter 41. Four chapters. God is asking Job a series of questions that Job could not answer. He asked questions like, who holds up the world? What holds up the world? Who decided how big the world would be? Who determined where the sea would stop and where the land would begin? He asked Job, can you make morning come when you're ready? Can you make thunder and lightning? Can you cause the wind to blow in any direction? Can you change the stars in the sky? Can you rearrange the constellations? And he asked him these sort of questions. He says in verse 4 of Job 38, he says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, you think you have me figured out. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? Verse 16, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Verse 18, hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Verse 19, where is the way where light dwelleth? Verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Verse 24, by what way is the light parted which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? And he goes on and on and asks these questions of Job. For four chapters, he asks these questions. And there stands Job with his mouth wide open, not being able to say a thing. You see, Job never did figure God out. Job's friends never did figure God out. So what is the point in God asking these questions to Job? Why did God ask these questions to Job? I believe that God was manifesting to Job his infinity. God was manifesting his infinity. God was manifesting his endlessness. God was manifesting his vastness, his immensity. He is telling Job that man in his finite mind cannot possibly fully comprehend or understand that which is infinite. Cannot fully comprehend God. God was manifesting to Job his greatness. He was reminding Job that he excels and goes beyond all else. He is reminding Job that he is bigger than anything else. He is larger than all else. He is reminding Job that he is omniscient, that is all-knowing and all-wise and omnipotent and sovereign. Job thought that he understood and comprehended God. As God asked these questions, Job came to the realization that he didn't. And if you think about it, God would have to be mighty small for you and I to understand him. We ought to be thankful that we have a God that we cannot possibly fully understand. That just shows how big and how great God is. So God is telling Job, you don't need to figure me out. And that's true of you and I as well. You don't need to be able to explain me. You don't even need to be able to understand me. Job, what you need to do is trust me. And that seems to be what God is telling Job. And Job got the message. Because notice in Job 42, if we turn there, this is God has finished his questions. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. He said, I spoke things that I did not really understand, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In this series of questions, verse 22, our text contains one of the questions that God asked Job. Again, God asked these questions to reveal his infinity, to reveal his endlessness, to reveal his vastness, to reveal his greatness, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his sovereignty. The question, like all the other questions that God asked Job, was to encourage Job to simply trust the Lord. And the question is, has thou entered into the treasures of the snow? And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, the treasures of the snow. The Bible makes 24 references to snow, the word snow, and then one time we see the word snowy. So a total of 25 times the Bible mentions snow. And no doubt snow means different things to different people. To young children and the children at heart, snow means fun. Snow means enjoyment. Best of all, snow means a day off school or maybe a day off of work. So snow means different things to different people. But to those who are not so young, snow may not fill your heart with joy. You may be glad to see it come. You may enjoy it for a few days, and then you're glad to see it go away. You may look at snow as simply an inconvenience. And no doubt, snow can be an inconvenience. Some people are fearful of snow. The elderly are fearful of falling, going off the road. So there are many different ways of looking at snow, and snow means different things to different people. But no matter what you think, no matter what you think of snow, it's one of the many things that teach us the greatness of God. It is one of those things that remind us that God is to be trusted. Now, I believe God's view of snow is seen in the question. It's seen in that word, treasures. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? A treasure implies riches. There's riches in the snow. Riches in the rain also. Riches in the hail also. But there are treasures in the snow. Treasures are valuables. There are valuable things in the snow, valuable lessons to learn in the snow. Snow is a treasure, can be a work of art. And no doubt snow is. A treasure can be a masterpiece. And we see here it's not treasure, but treasures. Plural. He says, Job, have you ever entered into the treasures, the riches, the valuables, the masterpieces of the snow? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? You see, snow is one of the great things that God does that man cannot fully comprehend. Notice in Job chapter 37, verses 5 and 6, we read, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. And then he mentions one. For he saith to the snow, be thou in the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. So snow is one of those marvelous things of God. One of those things that show us again that we do not fully understand the Lord. That we do not fully comprehend the greatness of God. Snow is the work of God. Snow is the masterpiece of God. In that snow are valuable treasures. Treasures that will enrich us in knowledge of God. Treasures that will enrich our understanding of the Lord. Treasures that will encourage us. So we want tonight to consider some of the treasures of the snow. First of all, there are treasures of the snow because of its provider. It is God who provides the snow. We are told that there again in Job 37 and verse 6. Notice in Psalm 147, verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Psalm 148 and verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. So God gives snow, and snow fulfills his word. When the snow falls, or when the rain falls, or the hail, or whatever, it is simply fulfilling the word of God, which shows us and teaches us the sovereignty and the control of God. He is the provider of the snow. Just like he is the provider of the rain, and just like he is the provider of the hail. And the rain and the hail and the snow are all miracles of God. Notice in the book of Job, chapter 5. The book of Job, chapter 5, verses 8 through verse 10. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. So the subject here is God does great things, unsearchable things, marvelous things, who giveth rain. That's one of the great things that God does. We don't think much of the rain, but the Bible says it's one of the great things that God does. It's one of the marvelous things that God does. It's one of the wonders of God. Not only is that true of the rain, that's true of the snow as well. So there are treasures of the snow because of the one who provides the snow, the one who sends the snow, the one who makes the snow. Now, in order for it to rain, in order for it to snow, water has to be carried up into the sky and then released to the land. I mean, it cannot rain, it cannot snow, unless water is carried up into the sky. Who carries it there? God does. And that's one of the wonders of God. And who releases it to the land? Again, God does. How does he carry the water to the sky? Well, he carries it from the seas and the rivers and the lakes and the ponds and the creeks and the pools and the puddles and even plants. And he carries it by what we call evaporation. That's how God carries the water into the skies. Now, evaporation, to put it simply, is just water stops being water for a while. So it can go up. In other words, it's vapor. And that vapor goes up. And clouds are formed. And clouds are made up of millions and millions of tiny vapor droplets. And all these droplets cling together. So it's up in the sky. How does it come down? Well, God brought it up. God has to bring it down. And God brings it down through condensation. Condensation is changing water vapor back into water. And this is how God causes it to rain. He does this by expanding and cooling the air. Again, showing the sovereignty of God. Again, showing the power and the control of God. As water accumulates in those clouds, eventually it becomes too heavy, at which point it falls to the ground. Hence, you have rain or snow, which we'll get to in a minute. So God uses the process of evaporation and condensation to cause it to rain. God uses the same process cause it to snow. You see, a snowflake is formed in the clouds, is made inside the clouds. That's where God makes all the snowflakes. He makes them inside the clouds. He does so when those water droplets freeze. They become tiny ice particles. Water vapor in the cloud gathers on these ice particles, causing the ice particle, of course, to spread, to grow. And it does so with an infinite variety and with infinite designs. And God forms what we know to be a snowflake. Now, a snowflake can be made up of one ice particle. A snowflake can be made up of hundreds of ice particles. But no matter what, it is God who brings those ice particles together. It's God who is in control. It is God who is designing that snowflake. God designs every one of them. Eventually, just like when it rains, the snowflake becomes too heavy and it falls. Falls thousands of feet to the ground. But in order to remain a snowflake, temperature has to be below freezing. If at any point in the journey of that snowflake, the temperature rises above freezing, guess what? The snowflake's no longer a snowflake. Now it becomes sleet or rain. But my point is that God controls the temperatures. God controls everything along that snowflake's journey to the ground. And everything along that journey influences the shape and even the design of that particular snowflake. A snowflake is a great wonder of God. A snowflake is a great miracle of God, just like rain is a miracle of God. When it rains, we don't think much of it, but we need to. When it snows sometimes, we don't think much of it. But they're all miracles. I mean, one inch of rain per acre is 3,360 cubic feet. That is 27,155 gallons of water. One inch of rain. God carried it all up there And God sends it all down. Approximately 113 tons of water. 1 inch of rain on an acre of land. That's a lot of weight. Who carried it up in the air? Has to be carried up for it and come down. God did. He does so just by speaking, by controlling the laws of evaporation. We are told if 1 inch of rain would fall on 1 square mile, that would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water. Computers are a wonderful thing. Which is 206 billion gallons of water. Which is 1.5 trillion pounds of water over a square mile. You had better thank God that he doesn't just dump it. 1.5 trillion pounds of water on one place. He not only carries it all up into the sky, he spreads it out evenly. He could just drop it all down in one spot. 1.5 trillion tons, that's a lot of weight. That's going to do a lot of damage. But God is wise. So when it rains, we see the control of God. We see the sovereignty of God. We see the wisdom of God. We even see the love, the mercy of God. Now on average, 1 inch of rain equals 10 inches of snow, on average. Every time it rains or snows, that is a wonder of God. Every time it rains or snows, God is doing something that man cannot fully comprehend. Rain and snow is a display, again, of God's control. Every time it rains, God is telling us, I'm in control. Every time it snows, it is a reminder, I'm in control. You know, people will say, oh, God just dumped a bunch of snow on us. You better be thankful again he didn't just dump it on you. Because we wouldn't be here to tell about it if he did. But he spreads it out. He's in control. Shows his omnipotence. Shows his wisdom. There are also treasures of snow, not only because of its provider, because of the pattern, peculiarity. Each and every snowflake is a work of art. A work of art by God. As God forms and designs the snowflakes and the clouds, causing those ice crystals to all come together, he does so with great precision. God is a God of precision. He does so with great design. Snowflakes always have six sides. Always. Every snowflake has six sides. Yet, similar to the human fingerprint, no two of them are alike. Only God. Only God. It shows a great variety of God. Each snowflake has its own structure. Each snowflake has its own unique pattern that will never again be repeated. 1 inch of snow over an acre of land is a lot of snowflakes. I don't know how many that is. But it is a lot of snowflakes. And each one of those snowflakes bears a beautiful pattern designed by God. I mean, have you ever thought about how many snowflakes are in a snowstorm? You can't begin to count. And yet they're all different. And God made every one of them. He designed every single one of them. Now, some guy in Japan found this on the computer, has figured that a million billion, that's a one followed by 15 zeros, a million billion cubic feet of snow falls to the earth each year. And this Japanese scientist has some formula where he figured that a cubic foot of snow roughly contains 1 billion snowflakes. Now, I don't know what kind of person comes up with these things, but 1 billion snowflakes. So the number of snowflakes that fall to the earth is one followed by 24 zeros, and I don't even know what that is. That's a lot of snowflakes in 1 year. But the amazing thing is, each and every one of them is created by God. Each and every one of them is designed by God. Each and every one of them has six sides. Each and every one of them is different. What a God of variety that we have. And that ought to encourage us to trust Him. Each and every snowflake owes its origin and its existence to God. And though there may be similarities, they're not identical. They're not identical. So He's a God of variety. A God of such variety. How in the world are you going to figure Him out? How are you and I ever going to figure out God? You can't possibly. How in the world do you know what God is going to do with your problems and your difficulties? You have no idea. God is a God who is limitless. Your problems and your difficulties and your trials and your troubles, they're nothing to God. God who creates snowflakes can also create ways out of problems, ways that you've never thought of. So how foolish it is for you and I to lay down at night and keep ourselves awake trying to figure out how God is going to provide this or provide that. You can think all you want to, you'll never figure it out. The same God who makes all those snowflakes is the same God who provides our needs. We ought to trust Him. We ought to come to the realization we can't figure Him out. We ought to trust Him. Just about every time I think I have it figured out how God is going to do such and such, He does it completely different. And just because He did it one way one time doesn't mean that's how He's going to do it the next. God's not limited. All of this should teach us that not to put God in a box. We do that. We all do that to some degree. We put God in a box. You think about those snowflakes. And how can you limit God? How can you put God in a box? There are also treasures of snow because of its purpose. Snow has a purpose. Each and every snowflake that contributes to that blanket of snow on the ground has a purpose. Snow acts as insulation. And keep plants insulated. And keep plants from actually freezing. Skiers and adventures, if you want to call them, lost in the winter. Snow can survive by making a snow cave. Snow serves a purpose. Snowfall accumulation is particularly important to the West because it provides up to 75% of its water for year-round. So snow has a purpose. Each and every snowflake has its origin with God.
Each and every snowflake has its existence to God's command. He designs it, he commands it, and he does so with a purpose. That's true about everything God does. You and I don't have to figure out God's purpose. You see, that's what Job's friends were trying to do. They were trying to figure out why. Why did God allow all of these things to happen to Job? And they thought they had it all figured out. And Job even thought he had it figured out. But you can't figure it out. But you do know this, that God has a purpose. And God speaks of the purpose of the snow there in Isaiah 55 and verse 10 when he said his word would not return void, just as the snow does not, the snow and the rain does not return void. The snow and rain has a purpose. And everything that God does has a purpose. And each one of us are like a snowflake in the sense that we too are unique. We too are different. We have similarities, but no two people are identical. Not even so-called identical twins are identical. God is a God of great variety. He's a God of purpose. And I'll tell you this right now, that you and I will never be happy. We will never be satisfied until we realize our purpose. And our purpose is to honor God. Our purpose is to live for God's honor and God's pleasure. And until you realize that that is your purpose, no matter what else you do in life, that is your purpose. If you're an auto mechanic or a carpenter, whatever, your main purpose is to live for the honor and glory of God. That is why God created you. And only then will you be happy. Only then will you be satisfied. But each one of those snowflakes fills the purpose of God. There are treasures also in the snow because of its power. You think of a single snowflake and it's very insignificant. Not much power in a snowflake. You put billions and billions of them in a snowstorm, it can be pretty powerful. It can cause a lot of damage. It can cause a lot of havoc. It can cause all kinds of things to happen. God puts it all together. It's powerful. And you and I can take individual events in our lives and they may seem insignificant, but you put them all together and there's power. There's great power. I mean, all those little tiny snowflakes can cause trucks to get stuck, can cause all kinds of problems, can stop all kinds of things. There's power. And God is a God of power. The point of this tonight is the God who has designed and continues to design the snowflake. Each one with its own unique design is a God of variety. He is a God of great variety. We read in Psalm 104 and 24 of the manifold works of God. The word manifold simply means numerous, diverse, various, assorted. The works of God are numerous. The works of God are diverse. The works of God are various. The works of God are assorted. He also speaks of the manifold wisdom of God in Ephesians 3 and verse 10. And then 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, he speaks of the manifold grace of God. That is, the numerous ways that God displays His wisdom, the numerous ways that God displays His grace, the diverse ways, the assorted ways, the variety of ways. God is a God of variety. So the designer of each and every snowflake is a God of diversity, a God of variety. Now, don't you believe that such a God can handle your problems? Don't you believe that? I mean, if He can do all of this great variety, infinity, what are our problems? What are our trials to such a God? We need to spend less time trying to figure out why is this happening? And just trust God. Just trust Him. Because you're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure out God. The greatest theologians will never, ever figure out God. His variety is too great. You will never figure out how God will supply your needs. God puts us in impossible situations time and time and time again in our lives simply to show us that He can. And instead of trying to figure it out in those impossible situations, we need to just learn to trust the God who can make the snowflake, who can cause it to rain. Again, let's not be guilty of putting God in a box. God is not limited by the economy. People say the economy is bad, and it is. It's terrible. But that has no effect upon God. It does not diminish God's greatness. God will continue to supply the needs of His children. You say, oh, but I don't know how. Don't you see? You don't need to know how. You just need to trust Him. And that's our problem tonight. And I'm guilty or more guilty than anybody. We're always trying to figure out, how's God going to do this? You don't need to know. Just trust Him. I mean, He can design all those snowflakes and design them all differently. You can't figure them out. You never will figure them out. But we need to learn tonight not to limit God. The children of Israel, there in the Psalms, I believe Psalm 78, it says that they limited God. Doesn't mean that they weakened God. It means in their minds they limited God. And do we not do the same thing over and over and over again? We limit God. The economy's bad. This is bad. That is bad. What are we going to do? We've limited God. We've put God in a box. As if God is under the control of the economy. Must be careful that we do not limit God. Should we be concerned? Of course. Should we pray? Of course. But we must not limit God. Because you see, the designer of each and every snowflake is never without resources. Never. Everything I need, God has. How God gets that to me really is not my business. That's God's business. But if God can carry trillions and trillions pounds of water up in the sky and release it evenly upon the earth, God can supply my needs. God can meet everything that I need. What I need to learn is not so much to ask why, not so much try to figure it out, not so much try to understand it, but simply trust Him. Just simply trust the Lord. We all have burdens. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have circumstances that we wish we didn't have. We all have things that worry us. We all have things that concern us. And we can tell people, don't worry, worry is a sin, and it is, but we all do it. It's our nature. We do it all the time. But we need to read those questions. It might do us some good. Read through Job 38 through 41. Read the questions that God asked Job. And all those questions simply reveal to us how great our God is. And He is a great God. And I'm so thankful tonight to serve a great God. As you look back on your life, you will see that God has come through in a variety of ways in your life. I mean ways that you've never imagined. You know, oftentimes we'll pray that God will do such and such, and we almost get to the point where we tell God how to do it. We want our needs supplied, and we tell God, this is how I want you to do it. Well, you see, that's when we put God in a box. We don't need to do that. All we need to do is tell Him our need and wait upon God. And sit back and just watch how God will provide. A church starts having financial problems, immediately they begin to pray, Lord, send us some new members that'll tithe. Maybe God has something that you know nothing about. Maybe it won't require a single new member. But you see, that's what we begin to think. Oh, Lord, the job's ending. I need to create me a new job here. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's not what God's going to do. You just never know. It's really an exciting thing to sit back and watch God work. I mean, you and I, as children of God, ought to have the most exciting lives. Just sit back and watch the Lord work. And He does things that we just cannot even begin to imagine. What a great God that we have. And if He can make the snowflakes, He can carry my burden. If He can carry all that water up into the sky, He can carry my burdens. He can carry my problems and my trials. So trust Him. Trust Him tonight.